Open your Bibles to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, chapter 14. It's good to have June Smith with us here this morning. And I understand you got some physical problems. Need to pray for her. Dennis back here having some physical problems. Please pray for him and all the others and the O'Briens. Nathan is still hanging on there, and they're still praying for a miracle. So keep praying for Nathan O'Brien. We're in Luke, the 14th chapter. Let me get where I need to be here. Got busy talking and didn't turn. Luke chapter 14. I want to look at verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Brother Hamlin would say Luke is in the small part of your Bible. Did you enjoy him, Brother Hamlin? Always enjoyable to have him here. And the fellowship and the preaching. By the way, if you were not here Wednesday night, what a tremendous message. And here's what I'm going to do. Fellas, make a bunch of those. Give them away free. If you want Wednesday night's sermon, we'll give it to you free. Just want you to hear it. And the value of a soul. And just tremendous preaching. Luke chapter 14, we're going to begin at verse 16. The Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Father, once again we come before you, needy, thanking you that you haven't left us on our own. You said you would be with us. You would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus promised another comforter before he left, that Holy Spirit that indwells us. And Lord, the Holy Spirit to do the work in hearts and lives in this time, this age. Now we pray for your power to be experienced in this place once again. That you would speak the hearts, that you would convict, that you would convince of whatever the need is. There are no doubt unsaved people here. Very well could be moral people and good people. But Lord, they've never come to Christ. Might even be religious people. But there's never been a time in their life where they realized they were sinners and needed a Savior. They've never called upon Jesus and asked Him to cleanse them and forgive them and give them eternal life. We pray that today would be that day when they make that decision. And then we pray for every believer here. Help us to be tender towards you today. Help us to be yielded to your work and your will in our lives. Help me, Lord. You said your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I pray that you'd help me now. You know the need, and we just hold it up before you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Our Responsibility for Missions. Our Responsibility for Missions. The heart of God is in missions. We've heard that over and over again. Yet this morning I want to remind you that God's heart truly is in missions. Now, we say God's heart is in missions, But what are we saying exactly when we say that? Well, the fact behind that statement is that the number one driving force or passion of God is that the lost or unsaved of the world would come to Christ for salvation. That is the burden of God's heart, the greatest burden of God's heart. The Bible teaches clearly that apart from faith in Christ, a person is doomed to spend eternity in hell. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, mankind has been under the condemnation of God. That means there can be no relationship, no fellowship between man and God because we're sinners and God cannot fellowship or have a relationship with sin. But as we read the Bible, we find that God so loved the world. That means He loved all the sinners in the world that He made a way, only one way of salvation for them. The Bible says He sent His only begotten Son to atone for man's sin. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now any and all who will receive Christ as their Savior will have eternal life. That is that wonderful message, the message of salvation. Now comes the problem. And the problem is that that message of salvation must be proclaimed, must be broadcast, must be spread to all people everywhere. And that, my friend, is what missions is all about. It's about taking the message of salvation to the lost. You know, the true definition of a missionary is anyone who takes the gospel message to the unsaved and compels them to accept God's invitation to be saved. In reality, then, we're all expected to be missionaries. One church has a sign as you leave their building, and it's actually the front is their church sign, the back is a sign, and on that sign it says, "You are now entering your mission field." In our text for today, we find Jesus using a parable here, and I believe He's wanting to teach us about our responsibility in the matter of missions. In the parable, the king has prepared a feast, and he sent his servant out to compel folks to come in and partake freely. The king in that parable, I believe, is a picture of God. And this great feast or supper he's prepared is a picture of heaven. It's been all prepared and supplied by God. His servants, I believe, are a picture of saved people. And he commands his servants to go and to compel people to accept his offer. And for us, it's that offer of salvation. Thus, I think it's clear we have a responsibility for missions. We are all responsible before God to strive in every way to get people all over this world under the sound of the gospel. This morning I want to share just a few reasons why every one of us must be actively involved in missions. You say, why do I need to be actively involved in missions, preacher? Well, number one, because God would have all men to be saved. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, or chapter 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I got it right that time. Peter wrote this, a very familiar verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's the heart of God. That, as Timothy said, that all men everywhere would be saved. Hold your place there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes there to young Timothy, and in chapter 2 he says something so applicable to what we're looking at. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God's desires that all men everywhere would come to Christ. You know, it's interesting that with God there are no barriers. He is burdened about all men everywhere. All men, women, children around this world are equal in God's sight. God has no prejudice. God has no favoritism. God is concerned about the lowliest, the poorest. He's concerned just as much about the highest and the richest. He's concerned about the most moral. He's concerned about the most immoral. God loves every man, woman, and child in this world equally. And then God exhorts believers to pray for the salvation of unbelievers. Paul says that prayers would be made for all men everywhere, that men would be saved. God's work of salvation is for all, and God exhorts believers not just to pray for all men everywhere, but He exhorts us that we take the gospel message whereby men can be saved. Very familiar verses. Look at Acts 1:8. The commission to all those who will be disciples of Christ. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. We are responsible before God to every other person in this world to work to get the gospel to them. We're to be witnesses to Jerusalem, that's our local area. To Judea, we could say that's maybe our state. To Samaria, maybe our country. To the uttermost parts of the world. And when he says both, he means simultaneously. We're to be working to reach the world. We're to work to reach our neighbor. We're to work to reach those near to us. We're to work to reach those far away from us. We are to work to reach people all over this world. That's why he said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are we teaching them? How to be saved. That's why he said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye therefore all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Every man, woman, and child. That's the heart of God. And so we must be actively involved in missions because it's God's will that all men would be saved. Then secondly, we need to be actively involved in missions because God provided salvation for all people everywhere. All men. In theological terminology, we would call this, you ready? Unlimited atonement. You might want to jot that down because I want to caution you. There's a movement today among many Bible believers who do not any longer believe in unlimited atonement. They try to teach you that Christ only died for certain people. They call them the elect. But our Bible declares that when Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, He died for the sins of the whole world, not just a few select people. The Bible says that God loved the world, so He gave His only begotten Son. In John verse 29, John the Baptist said this, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Not just a few, not just the elect, but the whole world. 1 Timothy 2:6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And 1 John 2:2, "How can you deny this when the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child, ever lived or ever will live. He paid the price. Hebrews 2, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." God provided salvation for every man, woman, and child that would ever live. Now that reminds us that God has provided for salvation for us and for ours. I'm talking about our loved ones. I'm talking about our neighbors. I'm talking about our co-workers. I'm talking about those we encounter every day as we go about our daily lives. God has provided salvation for all of those people. And let me submit to you, He expects us to be missionaries to them. Missionaries in the fact that we need to give them the good news, to share the good news of the gospel in whatever way we can, whether it's a gospel tract or a word of witness or whatever it might be. God's salvation is provided for us and ours. And His salvation was provided for every person on the face of the earth. So we're not just responsible for those around us. We are responsible for all these. You see these missionary letters here of people in far off countries. We have people in South Africa. We have people working in the cities in South Africa. We have people working out in the bush in Botswana. We have people who are in the Mexico City. Brother Allenson works in the Mexico City. And then we have Bill Hart, who works in Mexico, kind of out in the country places. We have people all over the world. We have people in Japan, trying to win people in Japan and South America and all over the world that we're trying to support. Why? Because God said we are to support getting that message to the world. And that's our responsibility as believers. And here's a thought for you. If God was willing to die for all men, shouldn't we be willing to work to get the gospel message to all men? He was willing to suffer and die. Shouldn't we be willing to sacrifice a little and give and work so that we can get that message of salvation to those who need it? We need to be actively involved in missions because it's God's will for all men to be saved. And because God provided salvation for all men. And then thirdly, because God invites all men to be saved. Revelation 22, verse 17. Go there. Revelation 22, verse 17. An invitation. You there? Here's God's invitation. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." That's the invitation of God to all men everywhere. God invites all men to be saved. We've recited John 3:16, how God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says this, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And then God says this, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's a condemnation on all men everywhere. There's a condemnation on people because we're sinners. And God says there's a way to have that condemnation removed. It's through Jesus Christ. There's an invitation there. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, so many people want to try to work their way to heaven. So many people want to try to be good and moral and all those kinds of things and earn heaven. Friend, you cannot earn heaven. You cannot buy heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is through what Jesus did and the price He paid and accepting Him as your personal Savior. And that's the message that we need to take. God invites men to come. God wants men to be saved. And then we need to be actively involved in missions because the Bible commands us to spread the gospel. We've looked at these verses. We're to go and tell all nations. We're to go to tell all people how to be saved. See, the gospel has to be taken. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul deals with this, beginning with verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9, Paul says, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They got to hear. For a person to be saved, they've got to hear the gospel message. Somebody's got to take them the truth of the Word of God. And God tells us it's our responsibility to work to get that gospel message around this world. It has to be taken. And there's no excuses or sidestepping our responsibility. Thus it falls on us. Listen, it's not just on the church itself, which it is on the church, but the church, as Brother Hamlin reminded us, is made up of people. So that responsibility falls on every one of us as Christians. Remember what Brother Hamlin said about Cain when God said, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. We have a responsibility. People are not going to get saved if nobody takes the gospel. This is God's method. This is God's chosen method of spreading the gospel. He didn't write it in the stars. He didn't put it on every rock that He ever made. He don't write it in the sky every once. No, He said the responsibility is going to be upon my people, just like the servant in the parable we read, to go out and compel them to come in. We have a responsibility to get this message out. If we're really going to be obedient Christians, we're going to be actively involved in missions. And see, there are a couple of ways we can be involved in missions. We can be involved in missions, first of all, by personal soul winning. See, when I go out of here and I tell somebody about the Lord, I'm being a missionary. You don't have to go across a body of water or climb mountains to be a missionary. You tell that co-worker down there how to be saved, you're being a missionary. We run that bus route. When you run that bus route, you're being a missionary. We're trying to reach people for Christ. We're reaching out with the gospel message. And so in, we can personally do the work of soul winning and be missionaries and tell others the good news. We have a responsibility to do that. Another way we can be actively involved in missions is paying for missionaries. Or praying for missionaries, I'm sorry. We'll get to paying in a minute. But praying. Those of you who come, and we usually have our missionaries on Sunday night. But if you've been in our services where we've had a missionary and they presented their burden, the first thing they tell us time and time again is, our first burden is that you pray for us. Before they ever ask for money or anything else, pray for us. You read the letters over here. Pray for us. We can pray for missionaries. And we should. We should hold them up. Every week we highlight a missionary in our prayer list that folks could be focused on that one missionary to pray for them. They covet our prayers. So we can be personal missionaries by taking the gospel ourselves, and we can be involved in missions by praying for the missionaries that are going. Well, I thank God for these people that go. Have you thought about the people? We had that young couple Monday night. They're going over there to Thailand. They're going up near the border of Burma, and they're going to minister to Thailand people and Burmese people. Here's a young couple with a brand new baby. They're gonna leave America, all the comforts of this land, family and all, and they're gonna go over there. Why? Because the burden God put on their heart to go and reach those people. But you see, we partner with them when we pray for them, and they want our prayers. And so we should be holding these people up and praying and asking God to bless them and protect them and provide for them. I think of Bill Dobb over there in Jordan. I can't think of a more dangerous place in the world for a Christian working in Jordan among all the Arabs and the Muslims and all. We need to pray for these people. Personally, we can do the work of evangelism and be missionaries, praying for the missionaries that are out there doing the work of God, and then third, paying for missions work. And that means supporting financially. And that's what our missions conference is all about this week. Getting your heart prepared to give for the next year so that we can support the missionaries God wants us to support. So I knew it'd get to money. Well, yeah, because the work don't get done without money. These missionaries can't go without support. They're going to foreign lands, and they need to be able to concentrate on the work. And many of them go to places where they're not allowed to work on the economy of that country. They have to have support. And that's our responsibility. Listen, God doesn't call all of us to go to the mission field. And that's a good thing, because if we all went to the mission field, who would support the missionaries? The local church is important in supporting missions in that we can send them. We're financing them. We're helping them. And that's the way God has set it up. But see, in order to get it done, God's people need to be obedient and willing to give to missions. See, it's easy to lose sight of missions. It's easy not to think about the people in the far off lands who are lost and on their way to hell. But see, we need to keep that before us, and we need to make it the burden of our heart like it's the burden of God's heart. And so I don't think I can afford to give anything to missions. Oh my goodness, don't say that. I want you to think about this. Oh, I can't give anything to missions this year, preacher. Okay. Do you realize if you spend 50 cents every day for a Pepsi, you spend $182.50 a year? Do you realize if you would be willing to just give up that one Pepsi every day, you could give $182.50 to missions? What's more important, your Pepsi or the souls of men? How about you go a little beyond Pepsi? You like the Big Mac, the fries, and the Coke. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, I know it's more than this, but just for conversation's sake, let's say that comes to $4. And you only do it once a week. If you would eliminate that, you could give $210 a year to missions. Oh, I can't afford to give anything to missions. Oh, you can? Or you won't? How about one pizza every week? Now, for us adults, that'd be all right, but there's no teenager in here who can do with one pizza. Amen? But one pizza a week, say it's $10, that's $520 a year. Man, if you'd just be willing to have a tuna fish sandwich instead of pizza. Newspaper every day. By the way, I can't believe the price of newspapers. It's nuts. We used to use those to let the dog go on. No more. Wow, used to wrap fish in them. Let's just say $1 a day for a newspaper. Average. That's $365 a year you could give the missions. Well, by the way, the only thing in that newspaper is bad news anyway. And they usually get it wrong. You see what I'm saying? We excuse ourselves by saying, I cannot give the missions. No, the fact is, it's not we cannot, it's I won't. Because I believe every one of us could find something to give for missions. If we were really as concerned about the loss as God was, we would make a way to get involved in Faith Promise missions. That's where we're about today. See, I'm here as your pastor, and I'm laying before you the fact that you personally have a responsibility. Don't point your finger at the other guy and say it's his. No. You have a responsibility. You will give an account to God. You will stand before the Lord and give an account for why you did not support missions if you don't. We're called upon to be stewards of what God has given us. You know what stewards are supposed to do? They're supposed to use the master's goods to the best use. We all know we all waste a lot of money in a lot of ways, don't we? Nod your little head. That if we really, really, really wanted to be doing something for missions, we could find a way. And I want to challenge you this morning, find a way. How much do you personally invest in missions to reach the lost? Are you glad somebody reached you with the gospel? Brother Hamlin told about some of those people on the mission field. When the missionary finally got there, they said, "What took you so long? You brought us this good news, but what took you so long?" There's a need. The need is the world. Every man, woman, and child in this world is loved by God just as much as you are. I don't know where we ever got this idea God only loves Americans. And I'll tell you what, when you read those prayer letters, I get a little excited about what I read going on in other countries. Down there in Botswana where Brother Doug Hammett's doing Bible studies with people in villages and over there in some of those other countries, Mexico and all, where we read God's doing a work in hearts and lives and people getting saved. And I think that's exciting. And you know, if you're involved in Faith Promise, you're having a part in it. But if not, you're not living up to your responsibility. Our responsibility for missions Go out and compel them. Let's do everything you can to get them to come in. And that's our job. We're the servants. That's what we're supposed to do. We can't make them come, but we're responsible to take the invitation to them and say, there's a banquet prepared and you're invited. God has made a way for you to spend eternity in heaven and you're invited. That's our responsibility. Let's bow our heads. Eyes are closed. Our responsibility for missions. We are responsible before Almighty God. Those of us who know the gospel and have received Christ, we are responsible to share that message with those who do not know. There's no getting around it. And there's no excuse good enough for not doing it. We are responsible not just to try to reach those that we come in contact with, but the entire world. To be as concerned about others in far-off lands as God is. We need to live up to that responsibility. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many believers in this room would say, "Preacher, I believe I'm living up to my responsibility in this matter of reaching people personally and supporting missions that others in far-off lands would be saved. I believe I'm being obedient in those things to the Lord like He wants me to. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I believe I'm doing what He wants me to do. Here's my hand. God bless you." With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, boy, God's all over me today, and I have not been doing what I ought to be doing. I haven't been trying to reach people personally. And preacher, God knows I haven't been involved in faith promise missions to support those who go to far off lands like I ought to be. I'm making a commitment this morning. I'm going to get actively involved in missions. And I am going to try to win people personally. I'm going to pray for missionaries. And I am going to give financially so that others can go. That's my decision today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. Hands are going up all over this room. God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. I haven't been doing what I need to do, but I'm going to start. Here's my hand. You can put it down. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I haven't been involved in faith promise. Or maybe I haven't been giving like I should in faith promise. And I'm going to be obedient to God in that matter. This week, I'm going to seek His face about what I should do on that faith promise. I'm going to do it. Here's my hand. Just hold it up high. God bless you. God bless you." One more question. Are you saved? Listen, that invitation of salvation is to you today. God loves you and wants to save you. Will you accept that invitation? Is there someone here today? Say, "Preacher, I've never been saved, but I need to be and I want to be. I need somebody to show me how to be saved today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high?" Let's stand together. Father, bless this invitation. Thank you that you allowed us to partner with you in this matter of reaching people for Christ. Now help us to be obedient to you. Help us to be faithful, to be involved like we ought to be. Help us to be the responsible Christians you want us to be. Move in hearts here today. And I pray if there's one here without Christ, that today would be that day they'll come to know Him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.